I want to invite all of you to take your copy of God's Word and turn or scroll with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we have been in the walking through the book of Mark in our series. We are calling this first half of Mark the Son of God, because the whole point of the first half of Mark is to show us who Jesus is, the very Son of God who has come to save us. And so we have a theme verse that we have been reading every week. And so as you find Mark chapter 5, I'm going to read for us our theme verse in Mark chapter 8, 27 through 30. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist. And others say, Elijah. And others, one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Jesus answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. The most important question that you can answer in this life, even during this time, does not have to do with the world pandemic. It does not have to do with what it's all going to look like from here. The most important question you could ever answer with your life is, who do you say that Jesus is? And so through every story, through every piece of Mark that we look at, that is the main question we're seeking to answer, is who do you say that Jesus is? Well, as we get into Mark chapter 5, we've seen that Jesus' ministry was extremely busy. A lot of times when we think about Jesus and his ministry, we might think about very peaceful scenes of him out with some animals and maybe hugging some children. But what we see in the book of Mark is that his ministry was actually extremely challenging and chaotic. Once Jesus started doing miracles and preaching about the kingdom of God, the crowds were so large that a lot of times they didn't even let him eat or sleep. And so we saw that Jesus, what he started to do was he started to go out on the Sea of Galilee in a boat so that all the crowd could be on the shore listening to Jesus' teaching without them mauling him to try to touch him or to see the next miracle. And so Jesus has been teaching that way. And then we saw last week that after a long day of teaching, they couldn't even get back to the shore because of the crowd. So what Jesus did was he told his disciples, "Let's take our boats and let's go across the sea." And last week we saw that Jesus showed that he was the Lord of nature because he fell asleep in the boat. And as they were going across the sea, Jesus was so exhausted that this big windstorm came and there was water coming into the boat and the disciples couldn't keep the water out, but Jesus was fast asleep. And so the disciples had to wake Jesus and say, "Jesus, don't you even care that we're perishing?" And in that moment, Jesus stood and he said three words, "Peace be still." And the storm was calmed in that moment, the land, the water calmed in that moment, and the ringing in their ears from the chaos became ringing in their ears because of silence. And there was one question on everyone's mind, the question that Mark asks us over and over again: who is this man that even the wind and the sea would obey him? And then we get into Mark chapter 5. And Mark chapter 5 continues right where we left off. They get to the other side of the sea. So let's look at it together. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out, and he was cutting himself with stones. The first main point I want us to think about today is that Satan and demons seek to destroy the image of God in man. Satan and demons seek to destroy the image of God in man, and that's exactly what we are seeing in this man. Think about it. Jesus and his followers finally make it to the other side of the sea. The hope is probably that they will get a little bit of space to be able to spend time together and to be able to rest. Yet the text tells us that Jesus hardly got to even step his foot out of the boat when this very scary and horrific looking man runs right up to them. The book of Mark says that he had an unclean spirit. The book of Luke, which tells the same story, says that he was being tormented by demons. Notice, this man was living in a graveyard among tombs. In the past, the people of the city had tried to bring him back into the city, had tried to bind him and keep him from hurting himself and hurting others, but we see that darkness and demons would break those chains and he would run back out to the tombs time and time again. It's a horrible scene of this man who's been degraded even below the status of an animal. What you're witnessing in this passage is what sin and Satan, demons and darkness, all do in order to strip mankind of their dignity and of the image of God. A lot of times when we think about the spiritual realm and the dark spiritual realm of Satan and demons, we might think about incantations or Ouija boards or some kind of strange kinds of things. But really what we see in the scriptures is that the main point, the main goal of the dark realm of Satan and demons, sin and darkness, is to crush the image of God which is in man. You see, in the very beginning of the Bible, God tells us that every person was created in the image of God. That means that people were created with the ability to relate with God personally and to relate with one another. You were created in the image of God. You were created to relate with God and to relate with others. Being made in the image of God gives you, listen, it gives you purpose, value, meaning, and worth that is wrapped up in a God who created you to love him and love others. What that means is that your worth, value, meaning, and purpose is not defined by any other person. Your situation does not define your worth and your value. Your sins and your mistakes do not define your worth or value or purpose. The way others have treated you in the past or how you feel you are being treated now, that does not define who you are, your worth, or your purpose. Listen, only the fact that you were created by God in the image of God gives you worth, value, meaning, and purpose that nothing and no one can strip from you. Because this is true, the realm of Satan, sin, demons, and darkness have as their goal to destroy the worship of God by destroying the image of God in you. Notice some ways that it happens with this demon-possessed man. First, he's living in a graveyard among tombs. The very place that he is living gives this idea of death and destruction. While all the while we were created in the image of God, which gives this idea of life and of flourishing and of relationship. Next, we also see that this man is completely alone. The first chapters of Genesis tells us that it is not good for man to be alone. For we were created for relationship with God and relationship with others, but sin and darkness loves to have a man by himself. Finally, notice he's continuing to cry out and to even cut himself with stones. You see, it is sin and Satan and demons who want you to believe that you have no worth, to believe that you have no real value, that there's no real purpose in life. And if he can convince you of that, he can convince you to live in a harmful and self-destructive way. Listen, maybe during this time of uncertainty and of social distancing, maybe you've been tempted to feel like you've kind of lost your meaning and purpose. Because maybe a lot of your meaning and purpose was tied into your job, and you're not able to go to your job as usual. Maybe a lot of your meaning and purpose comes from the people that you hang out with or the kids that you teach in school, and you're missing them right now. And because of that, you feel like you're missing your meaning and your purpose. Or maybe it's tied more to your ability to make money, and your ability to make money just makes you feel like a worthwhile person. Yet in this time, you've lost the ability to make money as you usually do. Or maybe your meaning and identity is more wrapped up in just this sense of freedom and control and independence. And it is just making you feel so frustrated and angry that other things are keeping you and even telling you what to do during this time. But listen, your value, meaning, and purpose are not ultimately tied to any of these things. Your value, your meaning, and purpose are tied to the fact that God made you in His image to know Him and to know others. And listen, this situation or no other situation can keep you from the value and purpose that you have been given in this time. So don't waste this time. You can redeem this time. Use this time to spend with your loving Father God in relationship. Use this time to reach out to others that He has put in your life to love and to serve. Don't just crawl up in a bubble and just hope that all this will be over and feel like you've lost meaning. God has many things for you, for us as a body, for our community, and for our world during this time, for His glory and for the joy of those who know Him. But the truth is that we are all, apart from Jesus, sinners. We're all separated from God. We're all living for sin and self instead of for God and others, which ultimately leads to death and destruction. It keeps us separated from God and separated from one another. But with Jesus, listen, it does not have to be that way. Look at verse 6 with me. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Verse 11, now a herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. Second thing I want you to see is that Jesus has complete authority over Satan and demons. Jesus has complete authority over Satan and demons. Notice, as soon as this demon-possessed man sees Jesus, he runs to him and he falls at his feet, helpless in the presence of Jesus. For God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus is God the Son, the very presence of God in that place. And the demons, all they can do is beg him not to torment them. You see, maybe you've been tormented by sins or lies or bad habits, and you feel like they just continually torment you. But the invitation this morning is for you to surrender to the authority of Jesus in such a way that Jesus can torment all those things that have been tormenting you. You see, Jesus is far above and beyond in power and authority, Satan, demons, or your own sin. And his presence makes all those things fall at his feet. It's why it's so important as a believer to practice the presence of God, to be sure and to be confident that God is with you and that he is for you and his power is working in your life. Notice when Jesus asked the man, "What is your name?" He answers, "My name is Legion, for we are many." It's interesting. A legion in the Roman army consisted of 6,000 men, which Mark tells us represents this multitude of demons that was plaguing this man. Also notice Jesus, when Jesus asked this man his name, he answers, "We are Legion." You see, this man has come to identify more with his sin, more with the demons, more with the darkness than he comes to identify with his own name. And maybe you feel like that, or maybe you felt like that at some point, that you feel like you identify more with your sin, more with your mistakes, more with your perceived reputation. You feel like those things just own you, and those are who you are more than the fact that you were created in the image of God and that you are loved by God. But listen, Satan and demons know that they are fighting a losing battle. So they are doing all they can to keep you from living out the image of God in your life. So notice, they just have to beg Jesus because they know they're going to end up, what Revelation says, in an eternal abyss. So they beg Jesus, please don't let it be now. Just throw us to those pigs over there. So we see Jesus, he forces the demons to leave the man and enter the pigs, and immediately all 2,000 pigs run and jump off this cliff and they drown in the sea, which shows us just how destructive the nature of Satan and demons and sin is, and the grace of God that keeps us from destroying ourselves too soon. Make no mistake, Jesus has complete authority over Satan and demons. You know, throughout God's word, God never tells us to be afraid of this dark realm. God never tells us to be afraid of Satan or darkness or demons. He never tells us to create elaborate formulas or incantations or chants to get rid of evil. God never gives his church even a direct command to exorcise demons from anyone else. The way God would lead us to respond in the midst of darkness, in the midst of sin, in the midst of what you may believe is torment by evil or by demons, is to see and trust in Jesus as so superior over darkness, to draw near to him through his word and through his gospel, to draw near to him in prayer, and to boldly proclaim Jesus' victory over anything, over your sin, over your darkness, and that is ultimately displayed in Jesus' death and resurrection. See, a practice of the presence of God is this discipline of being aware of his spirit in all things. Some people sometimes ask me as a pastor, how do you know if someone's being tormented by something other than just lies, but how do you know if they're being tormented by demons, and what do you do about it? And the Bible's very clear that at any type of sin or darkness, the power is all in Jesus and his gospel. So you speak the gospel to them. You share Jesus' death and resurrection with them, and you invite them to believe that through Jesus' death and resurrection, he has defeated all sin and all darkness. You see, it is the light of Jesus that when you place your faith in him, the darkness must flee, because Jesus has complete authority over all things. Well, let's see what happens after the pigs fly off the cliff. Verse 13, the herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus, and they saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs, and they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. The next point I want us to see is that God calls you to surrender to Jesus' authority in your life. Surrender to Jesus' authority in your life. Think about it. When this happens and the man is cleared of his demons and he now sits there at peace, and these pigs run off the side, the herdsmen who were watching the pigs go into town and they tell everybody what happened. So the people come out to see what has happened to this crazy demon-possessed guy, and they see him now sitting there at peace, clothed and in his right mind. And they also see the empty hillside where the pigs were supposed to be, but now it's empty. And it says the crowds were afraid and they had begged Jesus to leave them. Why would they do this? Well, think about the scene for a moment. Here's everyone from the town. They're coming out and they observe two things. First, they observe this man who's been crazy, this man who they've told their kids to stay away from, who's demon-possessed, and now he's sitting there clothed in his right mind, transformed and freed. And then they look at this hillside where all these pigs used to be. And we know that these pigs had herdsmen, so this was someone's property. These pigs were someone's property, and it was probably someone's livelihood. So here was a man who was transformed by Jesus on one side, and here's another man's livelihood on another side that's been lost. And it says the people were afraid and they begged Jesus to leave. Why? Because in that moment, they perceived and they valued more that man's property than they did a man's soul. And that is exactly what Satan and demons seeks to do, is they seek to devalue the soul of man to be of no greater value than a herd of pigs. And I know we can be tempted to do the same thing when we value our own comfort over proclaiming the gospel with others. When we value our perceived reputations instead of giving it all for the glory of God. When we value to hoard for ourselves instead of give to our neighbors in a time of need. Listen, Jesus valued men's souls more than he valued his own life. Jesus laid down his life and gave up his soul on the cross, taking all the punishment for your sin and for my sin, so that every soul who would ever come in contact with him would be saved from Satan, demons, sin, hell, and the grave. So the question becomes, are you surrendered to Jesus as the authority of your life? And listen, when they heard how it happened, they begged Jesus to leave, because the idea was, if Jesus stays, sure, he might do more miracles, but what else might we lose? And that's a question that we all have to ask ourselves when we think about surrendering and bowing to Jesus, the Savior and Lord. Maybe you've heard that invitation before, but you're afraid because you're saying, if I surrender to Jesus as Lord, what is it that he's going to take from me? What's he going to ask me to do? Maybe he'll ask me to set aside my job and go into full-time ministry. Or maybe he'll call me to another place in the world to share Jesus with people who don't know him. Or maybe he'll ask me to step outside of my box and my walls and go and love my neighbor and share Jesus with them. And I'm just not sure about any of those things. But listen, what this shows us is that in order to surrender to Jesus as Savior and Lord, you have to perceive him as more worth it and more worthy than anything you might lose without him. The people were more afraid to lose what Jesus might ask them to get rid of than they were to have Jesus stay with them. And this is what repentance is all about. Repentance is loving and treasuring Jesus in such a way that makes everything, that Jesus is so weighty and so worthy that anything in this world could be lost, because you have the one thing that you need, a relationship with Jesus. Do you have a relationship with Jesus this morning? Do you know that he suffered and died in your place for your sin to save you from sin, Satan, hell, and the grave? Do you know that Jesus rose 3 days later, defeating your sin and your selfishness, so that you might turn away from your sin and turn to him and have yourself redeemed, to be saved, be forgiven by God, to be adopted into his family, and to have the hope of eternal life with him? The Bible tells us that we should number our days, for they are short. And we do not know what tomorrow will hold, but we do know this, that when the end of our life comes, we will stand before Jesus face to face, and there will only be one question that matters in this moment. And it won't have anything to do with the coronavirus or how you responded to it. It will have everything to do with, who do you say that Jesus is? Do you believe that Jesus loved you enough to die and raise again? And have you surrendered to him as Lord? You can do that right now and make that decision today. Let's look at verse 18 and finish the story. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Last thing that the Bible's telling us today is that we must tell everyone what Jesus has done for us. God is calling you to tell everyone what Jesus has done for you. Think about this man. He's now free. He's now in the very presence of Jesus, the one who's freed him from his sin and his captivity. And he's seen the people in the town come out and not believe in Jesus and ask Jesus to leave. So this man turns to Jesus and he says, "Can I go with you? Can I just stay with you, Jesus? Can I leave all these people who know my reputation, who know the ugliness of my past and know what I've done? Can I just go with you instead and make a new start?" But Jesus says no. Essentially what he says is, you don't need a new location to make a new start. You can make a new start right where you're at. Return to your home, because it's not just about your soul. It's about the souls of everyone in this community. So you go and you just tell them what God has done for you. Return to the very place that knows all your baggage and all your sin and all your backstory and tell them what Jesus has done for you. Sometimes it's the people that we feel closest to. It's our family members and our friends who know us. They know our struggles. They know our weaknesses. It's those that we are most inclined to not share Jesus with because they know us. But listen, when we share Jesus with others, we are not calling them to be like us. We are calling them to surrender to Jesus, to know our Savior. We are just one poor person telling another poor person where they can find bread. So I want to give you two questions as we close our message today. And I want to encourage you to take these questions and answer them around your living room. If you're with your family today, these are questions that you can think about and answer together. So I'm going to give them to you. Maybe one of you, Robin out there, somebody can post these two questions so that y'all have them in the comments. The first question, in what area of your life do you need to surrender to Jesus' authority for him to bring change and transformation? In what area of your life do you need to surrender to Jesus' authority for him to bring change and transformation? Because it doesn't look like the way it's supposed to look. It looks a lot more like sin and destruction than it does the image of God, and you need God's power to change it. Second, who is someone in your life that God is calling you to reach out to in this season to share the hope of Jesus with? Do not allow us being in our homes to keep us from sharing with those in our lives. Who is God calling you to reach out to and just share hope with, to pray with, to share the message of Jesus with? Let's pray together. Lord God, we come before you today thanking you for your word. We thank you that you are the same today, yesterday, and forever, and that you never change. Oh God, we come before you with confidence, knowing that you have the authority, the power, and the victory over every one of our sins, over every one of our struggles, over everything that keeps us anxious, everything that keeps us worried. Lord God, we know that you have the authority and the power to tell us who we truly are. So may we not believe the lies of the enemy that we are identified with how other people think of us, how others have talked about us or treated us, what's something in our past or even in our present that is difficult for us, that we are not defined by those things, but we are defined by a God who loves us enough to send his son Jesus to die for us and rise again. And I pray during this time and this season that your church would rise up and would show off the hope and the glory of God. I pray that you would heal in us what is broken and what is difficult and what is hard and those lies that we've believed over and over again. And may we come back to Jesus dying and rising for us that we might have life and have it abundantly in you, that we might be identified as your children, as redeemed, as forgiven, as whole, as loved, as having great purpose and meaning that does not just last for now, but forever. Oh, Jesus, may we see today in light of eternity, and may that compel us to the glory of God, to the love of God, and the love of others, Lord God. Lord, we all have places in our lives that we need to specifically surrender to your power and to your authority because they do not look like how they're supposed to look. Lord God, I have strongholds that I am dealing with. And though I trust in Jesus, I run back to those things over and over again. And I pray that today would be the day that I would lay them down before your authority and your power and that you would destroy them for your glory. And oh God, I pray that you would compel each of our hearts to reach out to that person that you're speaking to us about right now. That we would send texts, that we would call, that we would share your love and your hope during this time. I pray for any that you are calling to salvation in this moment, that they would simply reach out their hand. You've already got your hand reached out to them, that they would turn to you and believe on you for their salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Every time we sit under the preaching of God's word calls us to a response. And that response is always repentance, turning to Jesus, and faith. Whether it's your first time for salvation or whether it's your thousandth time as you walk with Jesus. And so today, as in every Sunday, I want to invite you to respond to what Jesus is calling you to. If Jesus is calling you to salvation, you cry out to him wherever you're at. If he's calling you to join this church or to be baptized, you do that. Listen, I'm going to ask you, if you need to make a decision today, I'm going to give you those two pieces of information one more time, and I want you to reach out. Can't walk the aisle today, but you can send that text message or that email. jpurdy828@gmail.com 910-416-4340. You've got it online and on the messages, and want to celebrate with you, want to follow up and pray with you. God is at work, and it doesn't take the four walls of a church building for him to work. So you just surrender and submit to God where you're at today as we sing this last song together. Lord God, you have your way during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Lift up your face. thank this group behind me, Papa John, Miss Danielle, and Reba as well. Such a beautiful job this morning. Thank you all so much. I want to invite you that 6 o'clock tonight from my house, I will be doing a Facebook Live so we can look at a passage in 1 Corinthians that I think is just really speaks into some issues that are happening with all that we're experiencing. So I want to invite you to come back with us on Facebook Live at 6 o'clock. It will just be my message, so 20 to 30 minutes max tonight. We'll just get in the Word together and continue that usual routine for us. And so thank you for being here. Just one more thing, please reach out. If you have a need, prayer request, put it on comments, use my email or text message. I'll help get it to the people who need to get it to, or if you just need to talk to a pastor during this time, would love to have a conversation with you. And so please reach out and let's stay connected. Let me pray for us as we close our service today. Lord God, we thank you once again for your gift and your grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the ability to be able to gather and worship like this, for if this would have happened in so many other times of history, we would have not had this opportunity. But we thank you for the opportunity that we had. We pray for the conversations that we'll now have in our homes based on the questions and the word that we've heard and the music that we've sung this morning. And we pray that it would all be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.